I am going to be sharing on a few things God says about us. So, as we've already heard, there's a few things God says about us. He says we're loved. And I want to cover how God says we're more than a conqueror. And there's so many things that we're going to hear specifically about what God says about us too. But first, we're going to look at that in Romans 8. Thank you, Dean, for asking me to share. Where is he? At the summer camp in July, we had a family meeting. And Dean goes, I want you to share at the youth advance. And I said, what? And he said, you heard me. So now we're here, and I'm really blessed to be here sharing the word with you guys. So we're going to start in Romans 8:37. Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's something Isabel touched on a little bit in her teaching before. But there's no circumstance that separates us from the love that God has for us. And he wouldn't make us more than conquerors if we couldn't handle it. So a conqueror is someone who defeats and victors and triumphs in a situation. And that's what God says we are. That's what we're made to be in this life, which is pretty cool. So I want to look at a little example of being more than a conqueror and believing that we're more than conquerors is in Acts 9. All right. In Acts 9:1, it says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. That's a rough start, by the way. Breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord is not good. Just letting you know. Verse 2, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about a light from heaven. And he fell to this earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why thou persecutest me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by hand and brought him to Damascus. So that's a pretty big switch already. Why thou persecutest me, Saul, Saul? And he heard and he listened and he said, what do you have me to do? What do you want me to do? So he's going to Damascus, and in verse 17, it says, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, and thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, and it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, arose, and was baptized. That's pretty crazy for 17 verses. But Saul had very obvious, heavy sin. He had a heavy weight. He had a heavy burden. But when we see the love of God and Christ in us, we can be a super conqueror and overcome the heaviest of sins, which is what Saul ended up doing. He conquered it. And we have our own battles. We have our own shortcomings, our own sins, our own things. We all have our things. But God set us to be more than conquerors, and that's what we can be. If we believe that we are unable to conquer and defeat our battles, then we're wrong, because God says that we're more than conquerors, and I think God is right. So he says that, so that's what we get to believe. We have the privilege of conquering huge things like that. But yeah, I thought that was so crazy. There's more things that needed conquering in this record, such as condemnation, which we're going to look at, but we can conquer that too with God. So we can turn to Romans 8. Romans 8. Where's Julie? Do you want to read verse 1? There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We're set to conquer a condemnation. When we stray off in our thinking and we get all in our head and get in our own way, we can remind ourselves and reset our thinking and align it with what God says about us, and that we can conquer our self-condemnation, our self-talk. We have to talk to ourselves and remind ourselves of the things God says we are, and we have to believe them. God helped you overcome things before, and he's going to do it again for you, and especially with the things that we say to ourselves. God helps remind us that we're all the things he says he is, and that one of those is that we're more than conquerors. So we can go to 1 John 4. Okay, 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." We don't have to be scared. We can conquer the fear that comes with our issues, and we can be made perfect in love. We are perfected in love when we're not scared, and we can conquer that fear. God set us up to conquer the fear that comes with our issues, and it's so cool that God's laid it out that way for us. He has a heart for us, and it's so sweet that our fear can be covered and taken care of when we're perfected in love, which Izzy covered a little bit, but that's how he said it. That's how he's made us perfected in love, and when we're fearing, we're not perfected in love. So we get to overcome our fear through God, who says we're more than conquerors. All right. So that's a little bit on being more than a conqueror. And another thing I have, which is pretty related, is us being God's kids. When I was looking for things to find for this teaching, I found this little note I had that I thought was pretty cool, and it said, "God says we're his kids, and he made it easy for us to know who we are and what our true identity is. And our true identity is that we're his family and that we're his kids." And I thought that was really sweet when I was looking for this. It blessed me a lot. But we can turn to Ephesians 1. All right, Ephesians 1, verse 4 says, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." That's a crazy verse. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. What a heart for us. Again, in verse 5, we can keep going. "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." And in 7 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." These are some pretty crazy things that we have in those 7 verses. That's a lot. We have redemption through him, forgiveness of sins, and we have our calling too. We're called to be his kids before the foundation of the world. That's pretty big. That's a big marker on our identity. It's not if we're an introvert or an extrovert or like liking video games or whatever. It's that we're chosen before the foundations of the earth. We're chosen as we are to be his kids, Almighty God's kids. What a heart for us, seriously. We can turn to Colossians 2:10. We're exactly what he wanted, and that's why we're here right now. But it's so sweet. In Colossians 2, verse 10, it says, "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins, body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. We're full. God has supplied us and equipped us with all the things that we need, and lacking nothing in this life. Our dad's given us everything that we need to walk out and live more than abundantly. We have everything we need to conquer, like I said before. We have everything we need. We're full completely. That's a pretty good gift to have, to be complete in him. I think that's really sweet. We're all full. We have everything we need. And that's something we get to remind ourselves too. We forget. I forget. But we're full. We have everything. We're supplied and equipped. So we can go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. It's big news. The Lord is my helper. My dad won't let anything happen to me. He'll help me out. He'll find a way for us. Sometimes things come up where we don't know what to do. And this happens to me all the time. Things come up where I'm like, I have no answer. I don't know what to do. So I find myself like knocking on my dad's door and just asking him and not knowing. And it's just a privilege to be able to do that with God, where we can just lay it all out in front of him and ask our dad, what do we do? What do I do? That we don't have to be scared. And he's our helper. We don't have to fear what man does unto us. We can have the confidence that God will defend us, fight our battles, and take care of us. So we don't have to be scared, like we said before. We can conquer fear. That's something that God says we can do. So don't rule it out. Don't rule him out when things get weird. We can go to 3 John 4. I just love that verse, though. Verse 6. Our Father who created the heavens and the earth. And we have the privilege to go straight to him, and he helps us. He's our helper. I love that. All right. Third John, verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. God has a big heart for us, and this is what he wants to see in our lives. This is what he has, a plan and a path for you, and we get to walk in truth. But, God set us as his kids, and he's given us so much love to bask in. These things are great reminders that the Almighty God is on our side, and he's there to back us up. We can bask in that when things get weird, and we get to remind ourselves of the things God has done for us before, how he's taken care of us before, and just to be thankful of what he's already done for us, and knowing that we can enjoy that love and bask in what he's given us as his kids. So that's what I wanted to share on things that God says about us.